Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam wa ala rasulillah. Today inshallah we're going to be again going through the book Hayatul Sahaba. And today's lesson is going to cover a few things. One of the major things it's going to cover is the issue of apostasy in Islam. And what is apostasy? Meaning a person who becomes murtad. He leaves Islam, and there's been a lot of press media coverage about this. That, you know, if a person leaves Islam, then the ruling on that he is killed. But let's go through the stories of the Sahaba and how they dealt with this situation, and then we'll come to a conclusion ourselves, inshallah. It's narrated, وَأَخْرَجَ عَبْدُ الرَّزَّاقُ عَنْ أَنَسْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ قَالْ بَعَثَنِي أَبُو مُوسَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ بِفَتْحِ دُسْتَرْ إِلَىٰ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ فَسَأَلَنِي عُمَرَ وكان ستة نفر من بكر بن وائل قد ارتدوا عن الإسلام. It's narrated from Anas radiallahu anhu. He says that Abu Musa radiallahu anhu sent me for the conquest of a place called Dustar. And from there I went to Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu asked me about six people from Bakr ibn Wa'il that had become murtad from Islam. They had left Islam. وَلَحِقُوا بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ And they had joined up with the mushrikeen. فَقَالْ مَا فَعَلَ النَّفْرِ مِنْ بَكْرِ بْنِ وَائِلِ He said, what happened about that group from Bakr ibn Wa'il? قُلْتُ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ I said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, Anas radiallahu anhu says, I said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, قَوْمٌ قَدْ ارْتَدُوا عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَلَحِقُوا بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ مَا سَبِيلُهُمْ إِلَّا الْقَتْلِ I said, that there were people who had left Islam and they had joined up with the mushrikeen, so there was no way except to kill them. فقال عمر لأن أكون أخذتهم سلما أحب إلي مما طلعت عليه الشمس من صفراء وبيضاء. He said that I had taken them safely, meaning not harmed them in any way, it was more beloved to me than anything that the sun had risen upon from safra and bayda, from the yellow and the white thing. What does that mean? From gold and silver. So all of the gold and the silver, if it was given to me in the whole wide world, it would be more beloved to me that they were brought to me in the state of safety and not harmed in any way. This is Umar radiallahu anhu saying it. قُلْتُ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَا كُنْتَ صَانِعًا بِهِمْ لَوْ أَخَذْتَهُمْ So Anas radiallahu anhu said that if you did get them, what would you have done with them? قَالَ لِي كُنْتُ عَارِضًا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابِ أَلَّذِي خَرَجُوا مِنْهُ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوا فِيهِ I would present to them that door that they had exited from, that they should come back and enter that door again. Meaning, they had left Islam, and that door that they had left, I would keep that door open for them and ask them to come back into that door again. فَإِن فَعْلُوا ذَلِكْ قَبِلْتُ مِنْهُمْ If they did that, I would accept that from them. وَإِلَّا إِسْتَوْدَعَتُهُمْ السِّجْنِ Otherwise, I would put them in prison. And then that's where the riwayah finishes. Okay, so look who is talking here. This is Umar radiallahu anhu, who, if you know the seerah and how he was, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was the strictest of all the sahaba. And he was the most eager to basically, during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if somebody did anything wrong Islamically, he would be the first one to get up and deal with him to a degree that he would always be ready to kill him. But in this issue, he says no, don't kill them. Present Islam to them again and put them into prison and make them or request them to make tawbah. So the issue is that, you know, there are other riwayat which we'll cover in a minute about killing also, but the issue is really that what is the purpose and what is the ruling about apostasy in Islam? You can look at it from different perspectives. If you look at it from the perspective of treason, because there is no differentiation between, there is no separation between state and religion in Islam. The state is one and the religion is the same thing. The state and religion, they basically work in harmony with each other. They're not separated in any way, shape or form. So if you reject the religion of Islam, you're basically committing treason. And I mentioned in Tuesday's lesson, if you didn't hear that lesson, that's been uploaded to the website, about the issue of treason and how many, many countries still adopt the ruling of death for treason. Okay, so the treason is something that is still punishable by death, even in approximately 10 or 12 states in the US. If a person commits treason, the state law dictates that they should be punished by death for it, even in the US. So if a person is basically becoming an apostate and he's leaving the religion, then he is basically committing treason in that sense. So that would be a penalty punishable by death, but that person has to be given time to repent. He's put into prison and he is basically, the Islam is presented to him and his questions and objections are answered. And then he is told that if he doesn't repent, then he's going to be killed. So what is repentance? All he has to say is with his mouth, he has to say, okay, I made tawbah and I've become a Muslim again. Now in his heart, even if he holds kufr, nobody is going to open that up and see whether he has any kufr or not. Okay? So that is basically what it is. If a person says that I made tawbah and I'm a Muslim again, his life is saved and nobody is going to bother him anymore. But the question is that if he is so adamant that he is willing to lose his life and he is so stubborn, then that person becomes dangerous for other people also who will want to follow suit and they will want to follow in his footsteps. Because of that stubbornness, if he doesn't want to make tawbah, he is willing to lose his life for it, then that is a dangerous situation. And that is that is dangerous for other people who might want to follow in his footsteps. So this is the thing. And tawbah, what is tawbah? All he has to say is that I made tawbah and I'm a Muslim again. Behind closed doors, whatever he does, that's his own business. So anyway, we'll carry on and there are a few more riwayat along the same lines. It's narrated from Abdurrahman al-Qari, he says, قَدِمَ عَلَيَّ عُمْرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ وَقَدَّمَ عَلَيَّ عُمْرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا مِنْ قِبَلِ أَبِي مُوسَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ فَسَأَلَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ فَأَخْبَرَهُ. A man came to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu from Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu. So Umar radiyallahu anhu asked him about the people. فَأَخْبَرَهُ. So he told him. ثُمَّ قَالْ هَلْ كَانَ فِيكُمْ مِن مَغْرَبَةٍ خَبَرْ. He said, do you have any news from far off lands? فَقَالَ نَعْمْ رَجُلٌ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِ. He said, yes, there was a man who became a kafir after becoming a Muslim. قال فما فعلتم به. So he said, what did you do with him? قال قربناه فضربنا عنقه. We got him close. We called him to us, and then we killed him. قال عمر فهل حبستموه ثلاثا. عمر رضي الله عنه said, did you imprison him for 3 days? وأطعتموه كل يوم رغيفا. أطعمتموه كل يوم رغيفا. Did you feed him every day? Raghif. Raghif is the very fine bread, okay, which is like not coarse, but the finest of bread that was available at that time is raghif. Okay, did you give him that fine bread during the course of those 3 days, meaning you treated him well? وَاسْتَتَبْتُمُوهُ. Did you request him to make tawbah? لَعَلَّهُ يَتُوبُ وَيُرَاجِعُ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ. That did you request him to make tawbah? Maybe he might make tawbah and he might return his situation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He might return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni lam ahdur wa lam amur wa lam arda idha balagani. Then he made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala witness. Umar radiallahu anhu made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala witness and said, oh Allah, I was not present there. Meaning I'm not to blame. I wasn't there when this happened. I didn't order this to happen. And when this news reached me, I was not happy with it. I was not happy with the way that this situation was dealt with in the killing of this person, and he was not even allowed or given time to make tawbah. So So again, Umar radiallahu anhu, he's stressing upon a person making tawbah and not just killing him just for the sake of killing. The next hadith, the next riwayah, it's narrated that Amr ibn Shu'ayb, who narrates from his father and he narrates from his grandfather, he says, كَتَبَ عَمْرُ بْنُ عَاسْ رَضِيَ إِلَىٰ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ يَسْأَلُهُ أَنْ رَجُلٍ أَسْلَمَ ثُمَّ كَفَرَ ثُمَّ أَسْلَمَ ثُمَّ كَفَرَ حَتَّى فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ مِرَارًا أَيُقْبَلُ مِنْهُ الْإِسْلَامِ. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu wrote to Umar radiallahu anhu asking about a man who became a Muslim, then he became a kafir, then he became a Muslim, then he became a kafir, until he did that many, many times. Is his Islam accepted from him? فَكَتَبَ إِلَيْهِ عُمَرُ. Umar radiallahu anhu wrote back to him, أَنْ اِقْبَلْ مِنْهُ الْإِسْلَامِ مَا قَبِلَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. You should accept Islam from him until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from him. Okay, or it could be أَقْبَلُ مِنْهُ الْإِسْلَامِ مَا قَبِلَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. I will accept Islam from him as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting Islam from him. اعرض عليه الإسلام وأعرض عليه الإسلام اعرض عليه الإسلام فإن قبل فتركه وإلا فضرب عنقه. Then he said that present to him Islam, if he accepts then leave him alone, otherwise then you can kill him. So this riwayah talks about killing. Okay, but again, all he has to say is I've become Muslim. So if this person, he's been doing it again and again anyway, it's not difficult for him to say, okay, I'm a Muslim again. Not a big deal. So this is again the situation of a person who becomes a murtad. The next riwayah, it's a little bit different. It's narrated from it's a different situation, a different story altogether. And Abi Imran al-Jawfi says that marra Umar radiyallahu anhu bi rahibin fa waqafa wa nudiya bi rahib fa qila lahu hadha amirul mu'minin. Umar radiallahu anhu, he passed by a place where a rahib was staying. A rahib is a monk who is basically leading a life of poverty, and he is leading a life of self-imposed hardship, a hermit. So Umar radiallahu anhu passed by him and he stood there, and this rahib was called out and he was told that this is Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu. فطلع, he came out. فَإِذَا إِنسَانٌ بِهِ مِنَ الضَّرْ وَالْإِجْتِهَادِ وَتَرْكِ الدُّنْيَا. He was a human being who had harm on him, self-imposed harm, and ijtihad meaning hardship, and he had basically left the dunya. He was living in a state of self-imposed poverty. فَلَمَّا رَآهُ عُمَرْ بَكَى. When Umar radiallahu anhu saw him, he started crying. He started crying when he saw the state of this rahib. فَقِيلَ لَهُ إِنَّهُ نَصْرَانِ. He was told he's a Christian. What are you crying for? You know, it's not a big deal. So, Umar radiallahu anhu says, قَدْ عَلِمْتُ. I know he's a Christian. وَلَكِنِّي رَحِمْتُهُ. But I had mercy on him. ذَكَرْتُ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. I remembered the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ تَصْلَى نَارًا حَامِيَةٌ. That on the Day of Judgment, there'll be people who will come and they have done so many good deeds. And nasiba meaning they have, you know, become tired and have a lot of hardship upon them. They've done so much in the worldly life in terms of what they thought were good deeds. But it all went to waste. Why? Because they did not have iman. And despite all of this hardship that they endured, tasla naran hamiya, they will have to enter the hellfire. And because of this vision of this person who is going through so much hardship, yet, you know, he's all of his hardship is going to go to waste on the Day of Judgment, and he's still going to enter the hellfire, I couldn't help but crying. So this is Umar radiallahu anhu, how much mercy he had, and how much mercy we should have, you know, for the people all around us. We see them, yes, and they are such nice people, and such devoted people, such good people, but without iman, without faith. We should have that level of mercy like Umar radiallahu anhu had, and at least get the message to them in any way, shape or form by giving them literature, by bringing them to the masjid, by acting as a good Muslim. All of these things are things that we could do to give da'wah to a person. We don't have to give long lectures. We do not have to be good orators and people who give good long speeches about Islam. We don't have to. Just be a good practicing Muslim, and if a person asks you about Islam, be willing to give them the right information, take them to the right source. If the person becomes a Muslim, then all of that will be in your book of hasanat and your book of good deeds. So this is the kind of attitude that we're supposed to have for people. The mercy towards mankind. Mercy, like the Prophet ﷺ, he was rahmatul lil alameen. He was mercy for mankind. And without this mercy, it's difficult to give da'wah. If you have mercy for the people, then you will give da'wah from your heart. It's not just a verbal thing that you just tell them and that's it. Okay, I've told him and that's it. There should be enough mercy in your heart that once you give da'wah, you should be waking up at night and making dua for him in tahajjud. This is what the Prophet ﷺ did. Spending a large portion of the night standing in tahajjud until his feet were swollen, making dua for those people who were persecuting him and who were giving him a hard time, who were insulting him, who were abusing him, who forced him out of Makkah al-Mukarramah. The Prophet ﷺ used to stand and make dua for them. This is the kind of attitude, and this is the rahmah that we're supposed to have in our hearts for those people who are away from Islam. So again, going back to that issue of apostasy, a person who leaves Islam should not be just an issue of, okay, he's left Islam, so kill him. No, it should be an issue of mercy. And if he doesn't become and make tawbah, then he's going to help, go towards the hellfire. Okay, that mercy is supposed to be there. And this is the main thing that we need to learn from the lesson of today. There was another chapter, inshallah. It's a different subject, so inshallah, we'll do that next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.